Deirdre, have you ever wanted to be on a reality show?
No.
No?
No, I think I'd be afraid to be on one.
Yeah, me too.
But if I was going to be on one, I think going through the American Ninja Warrior course.
I don't know if I'd want to be on American Ninja Warrior because I'd really embarrass myself. But I think it'd be fun to try the obstacles just because, like, when you watch it, you always wonder, I'm like, I wonder if I could do that.
That should be a thing. Like, you should be able to go to a park where you just get to go through that particular. I bet they will. Look, I just gave them another multi-million-dollar idea.
There you go.
But we do know someone who has. Anna Shoemaker has been on Ninja Warrior a couple of times, but the biggest time she was on was probably season 10. That's when she became a national name.
Yeah, she did well that year. I mean, up until she didn't.
Until she didn't. We'll hear about that. So today on Dying to Ask, we're going to find out, like, from the time you decide, I want to be on Ninja Warrior, until the time you actually, if you're lucky enough, make it to the finals, how much time actually goes by, and what does it take? It turns out there's an actual, there's an application. You fill out, like you're applying to a job at Denny's, you fill out a form to get into it.
Plus your little video interview.
And you make a video. She's going to tell us exactly what it takes to get onto the show. And then once you get onto the show, some of the weird stuff that happens behind the scenes. And then also, you're going to hear some of her big takeaways, because when you get into a show like that, and especially when you do well, there's an opportunity that comes once the show ends, regardless of how it ends. And she had to make a decision on what she was going to do with it. And I think you might be a little bit surprised by the choice that she made. It's all coming up on this week's Dying to Ask. Have you ever wondered, how did they do that? I'm talking about the art of the follow-through. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and Dying to Ask is the podcast that gets me off a TV news set and into candid conversations with authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers I have been dying to talk to. So brace yourself. This is a verbal gut check about what it takes to go from idea to reality. And who knows, maybe along the way, you'll get some answers to questions you've been dying to ask. Anna Shoemaker, thanks for coming in to the Dying to Ask podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Really excited to have you here. American Ninja Warrior. I'm curious to know, when did that go onto your radar and you said, I want some of that?
Yeah, I graduated college in 2014, and I was a gymnast at UC Davis. So when I retired from gymnastics, I was looking for something to do, and I just stumbled upon American Ninja Warrior on TV and saw Casey Catanzaro have her history-making run, making up the warped wall, hitting buzzers, and I saw that she was a gymnast. So after watching her, I was like, I think that's what I'm going to do next.
Well, and it's funny, because she was the first female who turned into a personality that people saw, and I think part of it was that she was so small.
Yeah, she was 5 feet tall and 100 pounds. She's tiny.
And you thought, well, I can do what she does.
Yeah, I was like, she was a gymnast, we have a similar background, and she's doing it at 5 feet tall, I'm 5'4", I feel like I could do that. So
that extra 4 inches is going to be what you need.
I was hoping that would help me a little bit.
So coming out of a gymnastics background, especially once you make it to the end of the collegiate level, is it kind of weird to all of a sudden, you do your last backflip and you're like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much discipline in a sport like gymnastics. There's so much routine.
Yeah, it's a shocking kind of realization that you've been dedicating 20, 25 hours a week to this sport since you were 4 or 5 years old, and now it's just gone. So
there are no gymnastics meets for 32-year-olds.
No.
You're not doing that on the recreational level once you're in your 30s.
We don't want them at 30. Our bodies will break in half.
Anna said that, not me. Definitely not Jeff.
Yeah, I don't want one now at 26. I mean, my body is already has its issues. So, so I saw the show and decided that was going to be my next athletic endeavor. So I had of ankle surgery right after making that decision. So a year later, when I was recovered from that, is when I started officially training for it.
So how does the whole thing start? Do you go online and fill out an application like you're, applying to work at Subway or something?
That's actually exactly how it works.
Really?
Yeah. So they actually just released the application even for this upcoming season. And you just go online, you fill out the application, and you submit a 3-minute video. And the video is the most important part, because they want to see your personality. They want to see what kind of training you do. If you can handle the course, if you can handle a camera in your face and things like that.
So let's start with the application. What are the questions on there?
They ask you anything and everything to figure out who you are, what your life is like, what you've been through. They want to know about your childhood, what it was like growing up, if you've been through any tragedies, or if you've had any crazy things happen to you in your life. So they ask you anything and everything. There's no limit, really, from the personal level.
So as you're going through that, are you like, I am either the most exciting person in the world to put on the show, or I got nothing?
I kind of felt the I got nothing part. Like, I was reading these questions, and I was like, well, I'm not going to – I could create something, but that's not going to work. It should probably be real. I just was like, I mean, this is good.
Parents will narc me out on that.
I was like, this is a good thing. There hasn't been anything super tragic, you know? So I started – you know, I'm a kid of divorce, like – 50% of America. So I was like, well, I could talk about that, which is, I mean, gymnastics was my outlet for that growing up. So I was like, okay. And I ended up switching gears and just talking about how gymnastics did fill that, you know, void or take that place for my outlet in my life. And when that was gone, I had a void. So then ninja became my outlet. So that was kind of my angle, which is completely true.
And the thing is that you do need an angle going on these shows.
You need something. You don't need an you know, to make anything
I don't mean
up.
Like angle like nefarious angle.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you need like that hook. You need that thing that is going to make America either root for you or really hope you fall down that wall.
Exactly. And really, they look for the first one. They look for people to root for. They look for people that America can relate to. They want everyday people. They want the audience to watch somebody on the course, and they want them to think, if they can do it, I can do it. That's what they're
really,
going for.
And we can't do it, by the way, America, just so you know. But I think that that's the interesting thing about American Ninja Warrior, is that it is so uplifting, because you are rooting for everyone, because nobody wins.
Right. Yeah. You know? There has been one winner in 10 seasons. One.
It's amazing we like the show so much.
Two finishers, one winner.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you've done your research, yes.
I've watched one or two times before.
Clearly watched that show.
Two finishers. One of them was like a millisecond faster and got the million, but two, and that's only happened in one season in the past 10 years.
I kind of feel so sorry for that second guy.
Did you know the second guy is also a GF, Jeff?
He is. He's a Jeff.
And
he is
the nicest man. He actually works for the crew that builds the course now.
Really?
Yeah. And he's the nicest man, so he's awesome.
So what was in your video? Because you must have had a cool video, I'm thinking.
I mean, I thought it was cool, but...
What'd you do? Like, where did you film it?
I actually filmed it a little bit, mostly in Sacramento. I filmed it at the Capitol, in front of the Capitol, with that kind of as my backdrop. And then I filmed it at the gym I was at, which I'm no longer there anymore. And I just talked about, you know, how gymnastics, you know, it was my life, and now ninja is my life, and how I've also dedicated my life to my business, where I've tried to do some outreach, and I've done a few charity things. So I talked about that stuff that I've done, and I'm cycling now, so I've talked about that. Just other things that I do is really what was in the video, and just kind of, and then fun training shots.
So how do you know you've made it to the tryout?
They call you. So there's this big dramatic few weeks where everybody's an absolute stress case waiting, and every phone call, every spam call freaks you out because you're waiting for this phone call from Ninja to call you and tell you you've been on the show. So you submit your application. It's due at the beginning of January, and calls usually go out a couple weeks before each city. So LA is first. So we get our calls first, and it's usually mid-February. And Facebook is an amazing thing, because once one person gets the call, everyone knows it, and so everyone starts freaking out.
Are there like ninja wannabe groups where people are sharing this info?
There's multiple ninja competitor groups on Facebook,
like,
and we've got our own
culture.
Yeah, we have
most type A group of people you'll ever find online, I'm sure.
We have a Facebook Messenger with a bunch of a big Facebook Messenger group where the application's open, or this is happening, with all the inside drama or whatever you want to talk about. It's a little community. Yeah. So when you get your call, which is a really fun feeling when you get it, and the first year I applied, I actually didn't get called. So that was a not fun feeling, because your phone never rings, and so it's a little disappointing. But then you just try it out again. And I got the call the second year, which was crazy exciting, and the third year. So...
Is it Matt Eisman who calls you?
No, that would be cool. But
that would be very fun.
It's just one of the producers that calls you. They're still fun to talk to. But
yeah. What are the other ninjas like? Like, are you all just hanging out, having a good time? Like,
yeah, everyone's really nice and supportive of everybody. It's one of the really rare sports that there's no like crazy like people that don't like each other. I mean, everyone, and if they do, they don't show it, or we don't know it. I mean, it's everyone's rooting to win, because you're really just competing against the course. You're not competing against each other. I mean, if you hit a buzzer, you're moving on. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
So you went through several kind of variations of ninja at different levels, but it's season 10 that launched you to be a household name. So once you got that call for season 10 and the producer says, you're in, how long before you actually compete?
It was 3 weeks, I think, 2 to 3 weeks. Wow. They call you right before. So you're training with the assumption that you're, or the hope that you're going to compete. So you have to be ready when they call you because you only have a couple weeks before you had to go compete.
So what do you do to train? I mean, are you just like scaling buildings? What do you do?
I mean, I would love to scale buildings, but I think I might get arrested for that.
I mean, I know that there are different actual ninja type gyms, but what's been your thing? What's
so I do a mix. I do more probably strength and weightlifting than many of the other ninjas do. It's what I got into after gymnastics, mm-hmm. and I really actually enjoy it. So I do a lot of strength training, and then I go to a ninja gym in Concord, actually. I start going once a week when it comes up towards getting close to compete. Sometimes I'll up it to twice, and then I rock climb. So I rock climb maybe once a week, twice a week. I go to the ninja gym maybe once a week, and then I strength train 5-6 days a week.
And so at the ninja gym, I mean, I know they try to simulate obstacles that have been in the course.
They have the staples, the salmon ladder and the warped wall, which are the things you just need to be able to do and have the confidence with, and then
just to get through life, you need to be able to do the salmon.
Yeah. True story. I mean, it's a big confidence booster.
I would think so.
And then you don't know what's going to be on the show, but you know that you need to be able to swing. You know you need to be able to hang and have grip endurance. So, like, I was actually at the gym yesterday, and what we did was we set up a bunch of obstacles in a row where you couldn't come down, and you just had to stay up and keep going, and that's building that grip endurance. So doing things like that are what prep you for the show, and doing things where you can't practice. So say, this is the course, you can't try it beforehand, you just have to do it.
Wow.
Because that's what it's like on the show. So getting your mind wrapped around doing things for the first time successfully, mm-hmm. practice things like that.
So when you go down to LA and you do the city finals, mm-hmm. You clearly did really well going through that.
Yeah, this year's city finals went really, city qualifiers and city finals was my best season ever, so far, ever, yeah, which was incredible. And it's filmed, they're filmed back to back. They air 6 weeks apart, but we film them back to back when we're in LA.
Oh, interesting. So it all happens very quickly.
Very quickly. So we go, it was in early March, and you go down, it's filmed overnight. So from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. is when the filming is going on.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it has to be dark because of the lights and, you know, if you notice when you watch, it's always pitch black.
Yeah.
It's like 3 in the morning.
So, okay, that's interesting. But what's interesting about that from an athlete's perspective is that your body clock and sleep are two of the biggest things that can affect your performance.
Oh, absolutely. So you have to switch your sleep schedule. Some people get really crazy about it and they'll switch their sleep schedule a month going in. But I can't do that because
these
clients.
People don't have jobs.
Well, some of or their job is working at a ninja gym, or they mm-hmm. can have a job where they can do that.
Wow.
That's interesting.
I don't have a job where I can do that. So I usually will, like, filming is always on a Tuesday or Wednesday usually. So I'll start flipping by like Friday. I'll start staying up really late and trying to sleep in and trying to get ready. The night before, I'll stay up all night. So the night before, I was in my hotel room trying to keep myself awake. And around midnight, I was falling asleep. So I went to the hotel gym and started running around. And
you did not.
I did. The janitor scared the crap out of me while I was in there. I had my headphones in and he walked in. But I stayed up till about 5 a.m. Then I went to sleep because I wanted to sleep until 1 in the afternoon or so because I knew I was going to be up all night for the filming.
You should just come work on the morning show.
You could come work at morning news. See, that's the part we would do well with, the sleep deprivation.
Right.
The whole salmon ladder climbing. Maybe not yet.
Fine. You got the sleep part down.
We do. Yeah, we got the first part. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the big moment where everybody saw you on big national TV, what it's really like behind the scenes. You didn't have to sign like a non-disclosure, did you?
Well, since it's already aired, it's
all good. Okay, so we can talk about the secrets, what it's really like. Okay,
yeah,
because we have questions coming up right after this. Did you know that I turned down the job to be the morning news anchor 3 times at KCRA?
Why would you do that?
Because I wanted nothing to do with early morning news.
Ah, yes, I can understand this.
But clearly something changed.
Clearly.
Because I saw the light, and lots of you have too. Our morning news is now on for 5 hours a day. We start at 4 a.m.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. In 5 hours, I could drive to Bakersfield. I could run a marathon, go home, eat a pizza, and take a shower. Or I could get caught up on everything that's happened in Northern California while you were sleeping.
I think there's one obvious choice here.
One obvious choice, and I'm really glad I finally said yes on that 4th time. So we saw you, of course, in the finals in Vegas, but what mm-hmm. people might not realize is that you had actually qualified months before.
Yes.
So what do you do during that time between those shows?
Between shows, you're training. Like, there's about 3 months between city finals filming and Las Vegas finals filming. So I took about 3 weeks off of training to give my body a break and my mind a break, and then I jump right back into it. So back into strength training almost every day, obstacle training at least once, maybe twice a week, a lot of endurance training and sprinting, because the Vegas course is timed, mm-hmm. whereas the other courses aren't. So you have to finish it in, I think it was about 2.5 minutes, so your endurance has to be incredible. Pretty top notch to be able to finish it in the time limit.
So what kind of feedback or support do you get from the show during that time? Do you hear from them at all?
From the producers?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. You don't hear from them too much. Well, on set, they'll talk to you a little bit here and there, depending on, they might congratulate you or pick you up if maybe you didn't have the performance that you wanted and that they know you're capable of. They're really nice about it. My first year, I didn't do what I was capable of, and the producer came up to me and he said, "We want to see you back next year. Like, don't get too disappointed. We know that you can do better." So they're really helpful when it comes to that stuff.
So when you decided, when you make it into finals, though, mm-hmm. what I've noticed just as a viewer is that you have all these people who emerge almost as personalities. Like, people are in almost like costumes, yeah. and they've got these
Captain NBC guys.
Yeah, yeah. you've got this persona. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? Is that just coming from them?
That's coming from them. There really? Are some people like Captain NBC, James, he's hilarious. That's just, that is his personality. He started doing that way back on the show, and it just has ramped up every single season, and now he's known for it. So everyone has their little personas. Jesse Graff does the Wonder Woman thing or the superhero thing. And then some people don't do it. Like, I didn't do it, and like Meghan Martin didn't do it. But she's Meghan Martin. I mean, it's just some people just kind of have their own little personalities, and some people like to dress up in costume. It's all a personal preference.
Right. Does everyone have to have their own T-shirt that all the other ninjas wear while they're competing?
No, but that has become a thing. You don't have to, but it's nice to do it. People, ninjas have started to come up with nicknames, pass out shirts because it looks good on it looks good on camera and to see the name everywhere. Right. So,
yeah. What is sometimes you go to a TV set and it's kind of interesting to see what it's like in person. It takes a lot of the magic away.
It does.
Is there a little bit of that when you're even on that set? Because there's got to, yeah. it looks like you guys are one after another, but I've got to imagine there's some resetting and some of the, it's probably different to watch in person. So what do we not see on
TV? The very first time I saw it on set, I was warned by this, that it's not as magical in person, and you're right, it's not. When you go see it in person, it's not as magical. It's, at first it's very stressful because you're like, wow, I have to actually do these big old obstacles, and they look bigger in person. There's water. You have to do everything over water, which is a new thing too. But there's lunch breaks. It's a union, right? So they got to take their 10-minute breaks. And so someone will go up to compete, and then they'll say, "Okay, lunch hour," and they have to wait an hour when they were just. So we call it getting iced. So you have to be ready to get iced, because you could go up mentally ready to go, and they say, "Oh, 10-minute break or lunch break," or it's like, "Okay, I thought I was before lunch, and now I'm after lunch." So that's the big thing. Or like, you get your run number, mm-hmm. and you try and figure out if you're before or after lunch, because that's a big, that you could be going at 11 p.m. or 2 a.m.
That's wildly different, I would
imagine. Very different. So it depends on that. If you're going to take a nap, like, some people will go, you have to be on set by 7, 8 o'clock. So mm-hmm. some people will find a place to lay down for an hour. So you don't want to nap if you're before lunch, but if you're after lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of that going on, and trying to stay warm because it gets cold at night, and producers are running around telling you to be in certain places, and you're trying to do what they say, but still getting your mindset to compete. So
yeah.
It's cool, but it's not as magical as it looks.
The other interesting thing is, especially for the women, I mean, most of them are competing in like full hair and makeup as well, it seems like.
some wear more makeup than others, and I wear kind of some makeup on there, but you do it all before you get there.
Mm-hmm.
So try and stay looking somewhat decent at 3 a.m.
God love you. What is the preparation like once you get there? Like, do you get to spend some time in the course and run through it? Does anyone walk you through it? What's that like?
So when you first get to the course, they give you your run number. And then usually about an hour goes by, and right before the sun, usually about sunset, is when they go over rules. And so we don't get to touch the course. We don't go anywhere on the course. We don't get to do anything on it ourselves, but we watch somebody do it. So they go through each obstacle. They tell us
the
rules.
Who's the somebody? Is it somebody?
It's someone who built the people who built the course.
One of the crazy minds that puts that system together.
Yeah, so they've done these obstacles numerous times. So for them, it's easy. We don't get to see someone doing things for the first time, really. It's people who have done it over and over again.
They make it look good.
Yeah, they make it look really easy. So, like, for the first, they'll tell us the, show us the ops tool. They'll tell us the rules, things you can touch, things you can't touch. If you ever watch and be like, well, why don't they just grab that? It's because we're not allowed to, or you'll be disqualified.
Oh.
So there's rules for every obstacle, what you can and can't do, how you can and can't approach it. So they tell us all of that, and then we watch one person do it one time, and then that's it. Move on to the next obstacle. And they do that for the whole course. And then, and that's hours before you compete. And then you can, and that's it. And then you just sit back and wait for your turn. And you can kind of see other people go through it, but you can't run, you're not supposed to run along the side of the course. Some of us do for our friends and things like that, but for the most part, you're just watching other people go until it's your turn.
So as a gymnast, how is your brain processing as you watch people move from thing to thing? Because your sense of spatial awareness as a gymnast is remarkable.
Yeah, you have to have really good like body awareness and spatial awareness to be successful in gymnastics, which helps with ninja. So when I'm going to compete, depending on when my run number is. So for example, for city qualifier, I was in the 60s. So I had a long time before I had to run. I ran about 3 a.m. So I watched the first 20, 30 people go through the course, figured out my plan, my attack, plan of attack for each obstacle. And once I knew my plan, I stopped watching because I don't want to see too many people falling on certain things and have it affect you and change, you know, make you more nervous for an obstacle than you don't need to be, things like that. And then for city finals, I was 15th or 16th, so I was much earlier in the run order. So I watched like five people and then I was done watching.
So season 10, spoiler alert if you haven't watched the whole thing, you did not win it. You're not sitting there with the $1 million check. But you sure did do well. So talk about the event, the obstacle that actually took you out on this and kind of what happened when you got back.
Yeah, for each stage?
Let's talk about like the what was different. I mean, you lasted 7 minutes, 16 seconds.
Oh, for the city finals. Yeah.
Yeah. Or actually for the finals.
The finals wasn't as great. For the Vegas National Finals, it was a much shorter run than I would have preferred. So that wasn't ideal. I actually went out on the first obstacle. There was 12 women make it to Las Vegas National Finals, and out of the 12, 5 women fell on the first obstacle.
Wow.
It was just a finicky, tricky obstacle. The steps were free spinning, so I don't know if people could tell, but the steps fully spun around, and they were offset.
I've watched that, and I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, so I posted a video on my Instagram after of me laying on one of them and spinning it around so people could see
validation.
It was, you know, we made up. But yeah, so this, they were offset. There was 3 offset steps that freeze spun. So if you didn't hit them in the middle, then they would spin. And if you weren't fast enough, there were all these things. And so I didn't do them in a way that was successful. And I actually, if you, rewatched it and I missed it by about an inch, that it spun just right when my foot was about to step on it to push off. And so I went down. So that was very disappointing.
So in the city finals in LA, you went the 7 minutes,
city
16
finals.
Seconds. So,
yeah.
I mean, like, even if you go out in something like that, you have, like, the benefit of the time. Personally, as a viewer, I always feel for the person who goes out quick.
Yeah.
How rough is it?
Going out quick is awful. It takes you, eventually you wrap your head around the fact that I was very grateful to be there and to have qualified. And I was just happy to be in Vegas competing.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to, go back to city finals. That is a totally different feeling. Like, you fall, but I was ecstatic to fall where I fell because I did way better than I did the year before. I was top 2 women, you know, one woman got farther than I did, and she's amazing. You fall, but you fall and you're still so happy just because my body was completely fatigued. So I don't know how much more I could have done anyway.
Yeah. Is it worse to be on the bubble or to fall early and just have it over with?
That's a good question.
He always has good questions.
Yeah. You know, I guess on the bubble because you have a shot. You fall early, there's no chance. So I would say on the bubble for sure because you're at least, you know, you may have done, if you did the best you could and you're on the bubble, then you did the best you could and that's all you can do.
So from falling out to the show actually airing, how much time had gone by?
So after city finals, qualifiers and finals, which filmed back to back in March, that aired June.
Okay.
So there were, what was that, 3 months, three, 4 months roughly between that filming and that airing.
You having to keep secrets this whole time then?
I couldn't tell anyone.
Do they make you sign like your life away
on this?
It's
like 40 pages of non-disclosure.
What?
That they'll like sue you, all this. Yeah, they'll sue you. I think it's they'll sue you for $1 million in damages or something. It's really easy to keep a secret when you sign that. So, yeah, so it's, there's a lot of, you cannot not tell anything about the show until it airs, and until the whole really until the whole season airs, you can't tell anything. But so
did you ever almost slip up?
No, people tried to trick me though. Like I had someone like, so was the water cold? Like I couldn't tell you. So people they try and get you to spill. And my family who was there, you know, they know what was going on, and my close friends who were there who watched. But most people almost everyone has no idea what's going on. I think it's fun to keep the secret because they'll find out and everyone else does, and it's, they can watch it on TV.
Exactly. So. You're like a vault.
I love you.
You've learned. We've had a little experience with it. All right, we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, I want to ask you, like, what's it like to come back to reality after being on a reality show?
Jeff, what's your favorite part of the KCRA app?
Probably the weather.
The weather, because?
I need to know if I need to wear boots or, you know, sandals if I could wear them.
It's a footwear thing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like knowing something before I head out the door. I need to know things. If I'm going to read them out loud, I need to know a little something. So that's the first thing I do is I look at the app. I see what happened overnight. I get myself caught up. So when I walk in the door, I sound smart.
Sounds good.
It does, as long as you read it. KCRA app, it is free. It's in the app store. It's like having KCRA in your pocket.
Who wouldn't want that?
People who don't want to know things.
Obviously.
Not listening to this podcast.
What's the weirdest thing about being on national television and having the country cheering you on in Vegas and then coming back to, like, going to the grocery store? In reality. The real reality.
It's not, well, and before it's aired, it's not that different, but I feel like I'm, you know, walking around with this huge secret and you know, like, oh, I've been on, done this amazing thing and no one knows about it. So it's kind of crazy. But once it airs and gets on TV, it's a little bit strange. I mean, I don't know, watching yourself on TV, I think, is the weirdest thing ever. So I had a big watch party and having all these people watch it and people messaging me and texting me, congratulating me on, you know, my performance. That I'll have, where I work, people come up to me all the time. Oh, you're that girl on Ninja Warrior. I saw you on the show. You know, I've had, it's a little surreal. I still haven't gotten used to people recognizing me from the show, mostly in my gym, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's interesting because fitness is your career.
Yeah.
And also your educational background at UC Davis as well.
Yep, exactly.
And so when you went into this, it really, you started off looking for kind of that next thing after gymnastics, like kind of filling a void. A lot of people go into endeavors like this, whether it's a like singing reality show or Ninja Warrior, and there's an ultimate goal. Maybe they have a product or a business or some sort of a life they want to create. It doesn't sound like you really had that, but at some point the notoriety offers some opportunities.
Absolutely. There's definitely opportunity anytime you do something like that, some kind of competitive show or reality show. But no, the only reason I did it was because I just needed a physical outlet after gymnastics. And when I first went to the gym and found that it was challenging and you got this accomplishment every time you did something new and fun, I was hooked. So it's more of just icing on the cake that you get these other things. Like I've had gotten a few clients through personal training from the show, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So, and if it, the one thing that I like about the show is if it helps me reach out to more people, because I can do online personal training, and if I get more people who have seen me on the show and I can help them, then that's awesome.
Do they reach out because they want to be ninjas?
No, I haven't had many of those, surprisingly. Mostly they just reach out because they want to get in shape, which is great, and I love working with those people. I've had one or two reach out and say, oh, I want to compete on the show, and I love those people, those two. So anything and everything is great.
Yeah, I would think that they'd be like, oh, turn me into you. How do you do that?
Right.
What would be your best advice to somebody who's thinking about doing something like this?
I tell anyone and everyone that has the smallest interest in doing the show, I tell them 100% go for it, because there are some people have no idea what they're capable of, and there are people who go on the show and do really well with the most surprising backgrounds. And you just start working hard. If it's a goal that you have, then start training, start getting stronger, you know, start rock climbing to work on your grip strength. And then there's local gyms you can go to see how you do on the course. But ultimately, if it's something that you want to do, I don't see why anyone can't go try it out. It's meant for everyday people who work hard and can give it a try.
I love that it's inspired so many little girls to be strong, because when I was growing up, and maybe when you were a young gymnast too, being strong and having muscles wasn't necessarily cool.
It wasn't, and it wasn't seen as feminine either.
No.
So that's a new thing, and it's still not it's become a new thing that people are accepting, but there are still some people that don't accept it. And so that's something that I think the show helps with a lot. A lot of the stronger women on the show are helping to push that movement to allow girls who are younger to be confident in the fact that they can do these amazing athletic endeavors. A girl that can do 10 pull-ups who's 10 years old or 15 years old, however old she can do it, that should not be something that's frowned upon because she now has muscle tone more than some of the guys who can only do 5.
Yeah.
You know, that should be an amazing thing. It shouldn't be this comparison, you know. So I love that women who are muscular has become more of a feminine accepted thing, whereas before it wasn't.
Yeah, it's
like
a great
women were supposed to be these dainty little things, which is awful. Like,
nothing,
I don't know why.
Nothing dainty about either one of us, but I'd say.
My sister was a gymnast when all through high school, and Marines came to our high school one time and mm-hmm. doing the recruiting thing. They had their pull-up bar.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, if you can do a certain amount of pull-ups, we'll give you a T-shirt. And she's like, okay. And all these guys are doing it, and they can't make it. And she mm-hmm. just goes up and just busts it out. And they're like, awesome. What the heck? Like, who are you?
You'll ask any girl gymnast or any – we love doing that. I've been doing that since I was a kid, and especially pull-ups. I don't know what it is, but pull-ups is the thing that we all – especially anyone who competes on Ninja loves to do pull-ups. So
right.
whenever you can compete and surprise people and especially beat the guys, it's a little mini win for
us. I love it. What's the advice you'd give people about managing their own disappointments? Because like you said, mm-hmm. going out early, I mean, like that's – for a ninja, that's probably the ultimate because
– There's been no winner. So even this past season, you know, it's already all aired. So we know that Drew Dreschel won the Last Man Standing prize, but he didn't win. He did not win Stage 4 and complete the show. So everybody failed this year. And but disappointment, the biggest disappointment I had, Vegas was huge. I mean, I went out on the first obstacle and I wanted to complete the course. So that was, you know, way shorter of my expectations. And it's difficult. I had a few weeks where I was down and out and I was disappointed in myself and beating myself up about it. But you can't. It's a waste of energy to continue to do that. So you have to just keep looking forward. You have to set a new goal. Say, okay, that didn't work out. So let's set another goal and let's work harder to make sure that doesn't happen again. You know, so you just have to keep working hard, keep setting goals and keep making steps forward. Because if you stay in that space of beating yourself up and being disappointed, you're not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then you're just going to keep being disappointed. You want to get past that and start doing better things. So gymnastics was full of disappointment, and so is this one, but it's also full of a lot of rewards and successes, so you have to focus more on that, and they outweigh the disappointment for sure.
We love hacks. We love knowing how people do things. So can we ask you a few of the way you do life? Because I bet you do some things that we could all learn from. Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay. What do you eat for breakfast every day? Like, what's your go-to breakfast?
I usually do a double fiber English muffin and peanut butter. That is my go-to because it's quick. I get up at 4 in the morning, so I need something really fast. Or oatmeal. This mm-hmm. morning it was oatmeal.
Do you do the same thing almost every day?
Usually. Yeah. Every once in a while I'll mix it up, do some overnight oats or something.
Oh, you're crazy on those days.
Yep, I know. Something quick because I do not like to get up early, but I have to. So I don't like to get up earlier to cook.
I love that. Okay, yeah. How much do you sleep a night?
6 hours, 7 hours usually.
What do you do to relax?
Nap. I watch my favorite TV shows, probably.
Which are?
Ooh, any medicals. Grey's Anatomy, New Amsterdam, How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah?
Yep. I go to sleep to Friends, so I usually a few TV shows help me kind of unwind.
Thanks for mentioning all those NBC shows, too. We appreciate that. That's really good.
Hulu.
best workout hack to motivate yourself if you're trying to work out more? Not even necessarily as a ninja, but what do you mm-hmm. tell people? If you really want to get disciplined, this is what you got to do.
The biggest thing is just goal setting. Absolutely goal setting. And to stay away from goal setting via aesthetics. So I tell people, don't set a goal that you want to look a certain way or you want to weigh a certain weight. Set a goal that is, I want to complete 10 push-ups. I want to do a pull-up for the first time. I want to, you know, squat this much weight. Like, those are the goals you want to set. And as you achieve those goals, you hit those little benchmarks on the way that's going to keep you motivated. And then the aesthetic goals come with it because everyone wants those too.
Mm-hmm.
So goal setting is going to be what's going to keep you motivated. you have to have a goal and something to work towards.
All right, let's talk about what you're working toward. I'm assuming more ninja.
Yeah, right now I'm working towards getting back into ninja shape. You know, you always take a little bit
of
a
break. You look like you're in ninja shape.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, but my endurance isn't where it probably should be. So right now my goal is to, I've had a few minor injuries, you know, muscle pulls, things like that. So I'm honestly trying to get back to feeling healthy and pain-free is my current goal. Mm-hmm. So a lot of rehab exercises, corrective exercises, cardio, things like
that. How do you change up the story? Because I assume you got to go through this application process again, right?
Yeah. This year, I can't really talk about it, what I'm going to talk about, but because...
She's such a good secret keeper.
So I can't talk about what my submission video will entail, but it's just going to be the different, what I've done differently with my training between the end of the show and how... what I do differently to make sure that I do better next year. So there's a few changes.
I was on this horrendous podcast. They put me through all these horrendous questions, but I rebounded and I'm back better than ever. I hope it's not that.
No, don't worry. I won't talk about it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's really fun to find out what it's really like to go through this. And I know you've had certainly Northern California cheering you on and a lot of people across the country, and especially little girls who watch are like, oh, I want to be like her.
Which is... so cool. It's crazy to think that little girls are looking up to me. I've gotten messages on Instagram about that. Like, oh, my daughter loves you. That it's so cool, but I still think that's insane. Like, I still look up to people, so.
It's insanely cool. So how do we keep up with you? What are your favorite ways to communicate with your fans and to find out about what you're doing?
I try and stay active on Instagram, you know, so I have a Shoe Fit Ninja is my Instagram that I use to keep in touch with people, with fans. I also have a Facebook page, which is just Anna Shoemaker Athletes.
So. And then you mentioned that you do some online coaching. So how do people find you for that?
Yeah, I do online personal training. So actually on my Instagram and my bio, there's a link to my online personal training profile. So people, if they're interested in training with me, they can click that, fill out the consultation form, and we can go from there.
It's amazing what a viable way to get in shape online personal training has turned into.
I love it. And I didn't want to do online training before because I'm very picky about form and I don't want people to get hurt. But what I use now has videos for every exercise. And so people can actually see exactly the form they need to do to complete the exercises successfully. And then I can write exactly what I want them to do, the weights to use, and keep in touch with them via a messenger with the app. So now I love doing it.
Except when you're, you know, in the finals for Ninja Warrior and you're a little unreachable.
Yeah, I can't talk to you then.
Can't talk. Anna, thank you. Best of luck in the next season.
Yes, thank you so much.
I'm hoping this coming season she'll have way more success. I think that now that she's learned a couple of the secrets, it might be a little smoother for her.
Yeah, you know, and it seems like these people who do well in the show, they're repeat, not repeat offenders, but, you know, they're repeat competitors because there's probably, you know, you learn these skills from season to season and then you train differently for it.
Yeah.
But gosh, how nice is she?
Oh, yeah, great.
I know. If you're looking to get in shape, I would absolutely go with her. When she says she's out of shape, I don't know what she's talking
about. It's ridiculous.
She looks like she could bench press Jeff over her head if she really needed to. Or Pontiac. Really cool. So we'll be cheering Anna on as she takes on yet another season of American Ninja Warrior. Thanks to everybody who's been reviewing the podcast. Those reviews and ratings are like gold for us. Mm-hmm. So thanks for doing that, sharing the show, and giving us some feedback. And Jeff pointed out last time that when you leave a review and you tell us something specific, it actually changes how we do the show. We read it. We actually pay attention to it.
Right.
And we institute those changes pretty quickly.
And same thing on social media. If you want to comment on whatever and be like, oh, I really like this or this or that or whatever.
Yeah.
The interaction's good.
And if you don't like it, keep it to yourself. No, you can tell us.
If you don't have anything nice to say.
Just say it in a nicer way. Okay. So check out our Instagram page for the show. You'll find us at Dying to Ask Podcast on Instagram. I'm on Instagram and Run Read Sip.
I am producer Jeff with a G.
And then you can find me on Facebook at Casey Reed Deirdre or on Twitter at KCRA Fits. That's a whole lot of social media we just gave you. Use it.
Yep.
And we'll see you next time.
And tell your friends.
All of them.
Bye.